preparing our guest room. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 through 5 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Have you ever read that? Prepare the way of the Lord, not our own way. "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." I think it is absolutely imperative that we prepare ourselves not only for the celebration of Christmas and its meaning, but for the Lord Himself. I want to ask you this question that I asked myself yesterday and this morning. What is going to be my preparation for my Noel this Christmas? What will be the experience of Noel for me this time around? It has to be personal. We are to be presentable to the Lord. If He came now in December of 2011, would we be presentable to the Lord? Would we be prepared? If He came today, would we be prepared? Or would we wish that we would have corrected some things in life? Preparations of spiritual nature will have to be made if we are to be pleasing to Christ, because He is the King and He wants us to prepare. He gives us opportunity and a lot of time to prepare. I hope you agree with me, and so I ask you and myself, Are our attitudes, our priorities, our actions, and our service to God acceptable to the Lord? They may be acceptable to me. They may be acceptable to many others. But that's not the question. The question is, are my attitudes, my actions, my words, my service to others, are they acceptable to the Lord? If we could see Christ today, could He gladly tell us, "You've done well. You are a good and faithful servant"? Could He say that to us, to you and me today? I hope so. I pray that He could do that. One day we will all meet the all-powerful King and Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Creator of the whole universe. You and I will stand before Him. How will we feel in His presence? How will I feel when I look into His face and see those flaming eyes that pierce through everything and sees every motive and every thought that I have? These are important questions for us to ask in this Christmas season. In our text today, the King is coming to visit us, the prophet says. Isaiah hears a voice. He doesn't say from where or from whom, but he hears a voice in the desert. We know that this prophecy was fulfilled in John the Baptist. A voice in the wilderness was later John the Baptist crying out. This voice tells us of the coming of the Lord, announcing He is indeed coming. And we are to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We must also listen to this voice in the wilderness. And as we listen today to this voice, we must examine ourselves about some basic questions that we owe it to ourselves to ask. Where, why, and what? Where is the voice heard? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. So we hear the voice in the wilderness. Let's apply this spiritually. The Israelites were very familiar with life in the desert. Their country actually borders nations on two sides that are nothing but desert. Quite often the word desert in the Bible does not simply refer to a geographic location. It can mean a spiritual, emotional condition that we live in. We know that the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. King David fled into the desert from King Saul. Jesus was tempted in the desert. I used to say to my wife several times already, I don't like deserts. Just picture yourself being in a desert all by yourself. There's nothing around you. No water. No escape from the heat, from the sun. You're so vulnerable, aren't you, when you're in a desert? So vulnerable. And there are desert times in our lives. The desert is a barren, terrifying place where people cannot live easily. Israel experienced that. It's a dry place where water is rarely found and people grow thirsty. It's a lonely place, sometimes characterized by solitude that is threatening or frightening. It's desolate. Often used to symbolize the desolation that has come upon a nation of Israel because of their sin. This describes the meaning of desert in the Bible. But loved ones, I believe that all of us at times have gone or are going through a time of desolation, a time of loneliness, a time of dryness. You may feel today that you're in a desert, spiritually and emotionally. Your life may feel like a spiritual barren wasteland. There are a lot of good things happened in the past, but things have died and things have dried up. Maybe your prayer life has been nothing but a dry form, or maybe not even existing. Maybe your soul is parched and you feel like an empty vessel. There's no water in it. You're thirsty. You may find yourself living consistently without taking any significant time for prayer. And this is so tempting. I believe that there are no greater temptation for any believer than to compromise in our personal prayer and devotional time. And you think that we pastors have it all together. We don't. This is one of our greatest battles as pastors. Finding enough time not to prepare sermons, not to plan this, not to prepare for this service or that or visit, but to actually take time personally with the Lord. And if we don't do that, our hearts, our souls, we will become like a desert. Maybe you feel You're in a desert all alone. Maybe you feel lonely this Christmas season. And believe me, many, many people out there feel very lonely. You can have these huge high-rise apartment buildings where 3,000 people live and barely one knows the other. They live close to each other, but yet are in their own little desert. Lonely. Maybe your heart is like a place of desolation. Maybe your sin has destroyed any signs of spiritual life. Maybe you're compromising. Maybe you feel dead, lifeless, and numb inside with your spiritual walk with the Lord. You ever feel numb spiritually? Like you can't pray. You just want to stare into space. Maybe you feel like you live in a world that is frightening and threatening you, and you're so afraid of what is to come. You're so afraid of many things that may come your way. Maybe you live the best that you can for Jesus, but the world around you seems so barren and desolate that you get discouraged. And we live in a time where it's very easy for believers to get discouraged. The signs of spiritual life are pretty hard to find anywhere around you sometimes. Yet the voice cries out in the wilderness. Listen to this. The voice cries in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. Prepare. Make a way so the Lord has a way to come in, so the Lord can be there. And then it doesn't matter whether the surroundings are desert or desolate or whatever it is, if the Lord is there, everything is okay. We live in a world where we feel abandoned, where sometimes we feel distant, where we feel lost or discouraged or confused. Sometimes people seclude themselves and are withering away in their deserts. But the voice cries out. That still small voice is saying, hey, you, yes, you in the desert, you who are lonely, you who feel empty, you who feel dry. Come to the water. This voice reminds us of God's unfailing love. When we have messed up, when we have run dry, when we have become a desert inside, the voice tells us that God's love has not changed. It's still there. And He waits for us to open our hearts and to just let His love fill that thirst and heal that sore wound that has been inflicted by sin and guilt, by whatever happened to us. Why does the voice cry out? Listen to this. Our text says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. We have to make preparations, or we will die in our desert. That's what God's Word tells us. If we do not prepare our hearts, if we as believers don't keep the fires burning and the waters flowing, we will die inside. We will lose what we have received of God and forget the forgiveness he gave us at the first. There's a giant road that needs to be made. Where is that road to be made? In the desert, it says. The voice cries in the desert, prepare a way for the Lord. You say, how can I prepare for the Lord if I feel this way? How can I prepare for the Lord if I'm so discouraged, if I'm depressed? The Bible doesn't say that those who are depressed, that they cannot prepare a way. Yes, for everyone that lives in a desert, in our own deserts. How can I prepare a way for the Lord if I'm discouraged, if I'm hurt, if I'm burdened? How can I prepare a way for him? I think God would not request it of us if he knew that we couldn't do it. But he wants us to prepare. The first thought that I want to bring here is that the Jewish nation was in exile, in captivity in Babylon, and they were to return to Jerusalem that was destroyed. This is the language we hear in Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. The second one is that God himself would return to Jerusalem and once again pour out and restore his people. I want you to remember, God wants to restore every soul. Every soul that's out there in the desert, wherever you find yourself this morning, God wants to restore you unto himself. That restoration comes when we make a way for him in our desert. And to make a way for him in the desert is simply by inviting him to give us the strength, the guidance, and to follow directions like the wise men did following the star. Prepare the way for him. Get rid of every obstacle in your heart and in your life that stands in the way of you receiving him. Whatever hinders you and your service to God and your joy. You know, some of us, we once had a lot more joy than what we have today. Let's be honest about it, right? We used to have a lot more joy. What happened? What happened? John the Baptist, he came with a voice that is described in our text, the voice in the wilderness. And what did he say? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the first way to prepare for the living Savior. And as believers, you and I should never throw away repentance. We should be ready that if God points the finger at something in our lives, maybe an attitude, maybe words that we spoke, or maybe we gossip, maybe we did something that wasn't right before God, we need to be willing and eager to repent. Otherwise, our hearts will become deserts. Repentance is needed. As I shared in the German service, I heard a preacher on the radio in Mississippi. And I really had high hopes. When I turned the radio, I thought, well, maybe I can listen to a really good message. Because today I don't have to preach. I was so glad last Sunday I didn't have to preach. I wanted to listen to a really good message. And I was disappointed. And I was disappointed to the fact that this preacher said that if you require repentance from anyone, that is legalism. Jesus says, just believe. And I thought, where did he dream up that false teaching? Because the Bible tells us, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus said it himself, repent. The apostles repeatedly in the book of Acts, you see, this is the start to prepare. Repent means change, to turn from the old ways, to know that we can't continue on sinning and doing wrong and turning our backs to God and get away with it. That's part of repentance. To turn around from sinful ways, sinful habits, sinful practices, leaving them behind for good, and throw off all hypocrisy, throw off all falsehood, throw off all disregard for God's rules. Change. We make preparations for Jesus Christ by removing any obstacles that would prevent him from living in our hearts. And Jesus and sin and rebellion cannot live together. When Jesus comes in, sin has to go out. The rebellion has to go out. And that's what the cry in the wilderness is. See, when guests come to our homes, what do we usually do? We usually prepare. That's in our nature. Now, there are those that say, well, if so-and-so comes to our house, they can clean up themselves. They can cook for themselves. They can do everything themselves. But usually, the housewife doesn't like it when someone else is in her kitchen. So we prepare. We prepare and we want the guests to feel you are honored, you are welcome. And for some of us, we like to prepare really well. We like to prepare so well that by the time the guests come, we're all collected, calm, we're confident, we are prepared, we know everything is taken care of. And then we can welcome the guests and really take time with them and converse with them. I want to use this picture. That's the way we need to welcome Christ in our lives. Only difference here is that Christ wants to stay, not just be a guest and then leave again, and then we can do our own thing again. No, he wants us to stay. He wants us to have this consistent, regular relationship and conversation with him, and especially be present in our lives. That's his desire. Is he the honored one in our hearts? But until we repent, we have not prepared our hearts with him and for him. This is why the voice in the desert calls out, prepare a way. Repent today if you find a need to repent. If you don't have anything to repent of, then praise God and thank God. Don't be just careless and say, well, I don't have anything, so I'll just stay neutral. No, then praise God and let the fire of the Holy Spirit just be in your heart and just say, Lord, I want more of you. I love you so much. I just ask you to pour out more and more because I'm so glad you took me out of the desert. What does the voice promise? Listen to the promise here given in verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to restore the glory that you and I lost when we fell into sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the glory of God. And with that, all the descendants from Adam and Eve lost God's glory. But in Jesus Christ, he is able and he is willing and he wants to restore this glory that we once had before the fall. And that is so possible. And God willed. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Will we see the glory of God revealed this Christmas season? Is that our desire? Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming for the second time. The Christmas season is upon us again. To remind us that we need to celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the child in Bethlehem. And we see the glory of God. We know of his presence among us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We've felt his presence many times. But now it's up to us to make a highway in the desert, to prepare our hearts through repentance, because he's coming. And the Bible says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, that we seek the face of God in prayer, that we seek God in praying to him every day. Lord, I seek you. I seek your advice. I seek your guidance. I seek your help. I seek your healing. But more than everything else, I seek you, Lord. That is what he wants us to do so that he can reveal his glory. Let me just skip a few things and come to a conclusion here. When we look at the story of Israel, when Jesus came, the majority of them were not prepared. When the Messiah finally arrived, the people of Israel as a nation, they were not ready to receive Jesus. Jesus even said it. He came into his own, and his own received him not, because they weren't ready. And I believe that when Christ is coming again, as the risen, victorious Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to come to take us home to be with him forever, I believe that many will not be ready. For the Bible tells us he will be coming at a moment, at an hour, that no one expected. This is why it's so urgent that we live with pure hearts before him, that we keep our hearts, our lives, our thoughts pure, that we are prepared. How is your heart this Christmas? Are you listening to the voice? Prepare a way in the desert. If you live in this desert, in any desert, you are discouraged. I want to encourage you this morning. Pray earnestly today. Look into the scriptures. Look into God's word. Ask God to lead you and to speak to you through his word. He wants to do that. He wants to give you things and reveal things to you that you have never known before. He wants to reveal himself to you in such a way that you can just cry out, Abba, Father, I love you, Jesus. A long time ago, Guidepost magazine once ran a Christmas story about a certain 9-year-old boy named Wally. Wally was big for his age and a little bit of a slow learner in school. Although he was big, he wasn't a bully. Everybody liked him, and he was nice to everybody. So they were doing a Christmas program in his school, and Wally wanted to be in it. He wanted to be a shepherd, which would have been according to his nature. But the teacher had another part in mind for him. She wanted him to be the innkeeper because he was so big. And Wally took the part home to study it and practiced hard. And the night came for the play, and everything was going smoothly. It came to the time when Mary and Joseph knocked on the door of the inn, and Wally opened the door and said, "What do you want?" And Joseph said, "We need a place to stay for the night." And he said, "You've got to find it somewhere else. The inn is full." Are you sure? Joseph asked. We've come a long way and it's cold. No, there's no place here. Go somewhere else, Wally said. But my wife is going to have a baby. Isn't there some corner we can hide in? And at this point in the play, there was silence. One of those embarrassing silences that make you believe somebody has forgotten their lines. Wally stood there, not saying anything. The prompter offstage whispered his line. He was supposed to say, "No, be gone." So Wally said it, "No, be gone." Joseph put his arm around Mary and turned to walk away from the inn. But at this point in the Christmas play at that school, it took an unusual twist. Wally was big, but he had a heart just as big. He couldn't stand seeing Mary and Joseph walk away. Caught up in the mood of the scene, Wally couldn't help himself. He blurted out, "Wait a minute, Joseph, bring Mary on back. You can have my room. I'll sleep in the cold." There were those who went home that night saying that the Christmas story was ruined. Wally's self-interest inserted line had messed it all up. But think about it. In that little event was caught the whole essence of what we've been talking about, especially today in preparing our hearts. Lord, if no one else has room, I'll make room for you. I'll give you my room. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my love. My full consecration. May that be our heart's desire this Christmas. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.